if you talk about the natural rate of interest rate and the potential GDP growth rate to my mom and my wife, can you believe that they can understand very easily? But that's a task that the central bankers, in order to understand them, we have us, you know, analysis and on our own skill levels, but it's very important to communicate them in their language so they can understand.
Albert Einstein once said, if you can't explain it simply, you don't understand it well enough. The Bank of Korea, under Governor Chang Yong-ri, has become a bit of a pioneer in distilling socioeconomic factors not traditionally associated with central banking and presenting their relevance to the public in a way that has garnered support of its progressive policies. Prior to being appointed governor, Chang Yong-ri held several high-level positions in global financial institutions, including the IMF, where, he says, he truly expanded his global perspective of macroeconomic policy. IMF blog editor Jeff Kearns sat down with Governor Ri in Washington while he was here attending the IMF World Bank annual meetings.
Governor, good to see you. Welcome back. I think when you were here last year, you said it was like being home again.
Yes.
And it's nice to have you back. So let's dive in with that idea to talk about transitions. Yeah. You were chief economist at the Asian Development Bank and then director of the IMF Asia Pacific Department before you became the Bank of Korea governor in 2022. How did you experience that role reversal to go from offering to receiving policy advice? And did you learn something new from being on the other side?
Yeah, Jeff, thank you, anyways, for inviting me for this opportunity. Well, as I mentioned, I had several different careers in my life, but very luckily, my career development is a natural continuation of what I liked most, which is economic research and policy advice. And especially at ADB and IMF, my experience taught me very invaluable lessons, which is one is looking at the global perspective in understanding economic policies. And also it helps me to build an international network, which is now playing a very important part in my communication and also in my cooperation with multilateral institutions and many other countries too. And also it also deepened my appreciation of financial stability by observing many financial crises across the countries. Now I'm used to look beyond the traditional inflation growth trade-off and can see the importance of financial stability. Having said that, I think the nature of the responsibility has changed. Prior to this, my governorship and at the fund, my major responsibility is to provide policy advice to the managing director. But now I'm responsible in making a final call, at least monetary policy, and that responsibility carries a lot of weight.
In your Kam De Soo lecture here last month and your 75th anniversary speech for the Bank of Korea this year, you mentioned topics including aging and immigration and artificial intelligence. Does this mean you see a need for the role of central banks to evolve beyond traditional monetary policy to better address, say, deeper structural forces and things like that to underpin long-term growth?
Jeff, this is a kind of sensitive issue at this moment. In Korea, some people believe that I'm a weird governor, because instead of not only the monetary policy, but I talk about structural issues such as you mentioned, aging, education, and many issues around the labor market and other things. But I do not think that this is inconsistent with a central bank mandate, which is price stability. Because to make a proper monetary policy, you need a good understanding of what are the main driving force of the economic policy environment changes. For example, whether the change is due to the cyclical issues or structural issues. Let me make an example. In explaining the recent slowdown of economic growth rate in Korea, I think that the structural issues such as aging and the changing nature of the global supply chain play as important role as the cyclical factors. So, so in some sense, to understand why our growth rate is going down and how much is the cyclical factors that we need to offset, you really have a good understanding of what is driving force for the structural change also too. And so with that in mind, I think I'm emphasizing that POK has to be a leading think tank for Korea as a whole rather than just a central bank.
And to kind of pick up on what you said a moment ago about global perspectives that you brought to your current role, what kind of global perspective do you have on your own bank? Or when you go to an international gathering, maybe at the Bank for International Settlements where you're leading the committee for the global financial system, or Jackson Hole, or Sintra, or the annual meetings. Do you talk to other central bank governors about these things and kind of compare on a relative basis when you talk to your peers?
Yes, actually, I did. And one thing I really enjoy at my meeting with other governors at the BIS, I really liked my interaction with many other policymakers at the IMF too. But I think a meeting at the BIS is more kind of homogeneous, and these are mostly the central bankers, and they have been working together for many, many years. I'm a kind of exception that I joined this central bank society only recently, but the most of them has been a lifetime central bankers and has known each other for long decades. So it's a different environment, but I think it's really a good place to learn many things about central banking. And I have many opportunities to talk about these structural issues too. And I found that actually Korea is an exception in the other way around. I think we have been, I'm not criticizing my predecessor or anything, but so far my impression is that Central Bank of Korea, the tradition is that there is some thinking that it's better not to talk about other policies rather than monetary policy, because if you start to talk about other policies such as fiscal and others, then other government institutions will talk about the monetary policy. So with that kind of understanding, my predecessors has been very kind of prudent in delivering a message, focusing more only on the monetary policy. But I think two things. One is that when I look at the other central banks in Europe and United States and others, finance ministers and central bankers always communicate each other and talk about the fiscal policy also too. Yes, definitely the decision of monetary policy is made by the central bank, but talking and communicating the structural issue is a kind of natural thing. So in my sense, Korea has been an exception in the other way. That's my first point. And second point is that I think the importance of the structural factors in driving our economy becoming much more important. You know, Korea is now having a rapidly aging population structure, and you know that we have very, very much export, dominant economy, and the global environment changing quite significantly. So without touching on these issues, I think we cannot make a proper monetary policy even. So I think that this changing environment really make us to be more open and then to study more the structural issues.
Governor, when you look around the world, what is your sense of how important central bank independence is, and do you see it as being under pressure?
I think in general, I think central bank independence is very important, especially in achieving the price stability. And there are a lot of literature that inflation targeting and central bank independence was critical for achieving the price stability, and I believe so. And in my case also, we had moments that we have to raise the interest rate very rapidly around 2022. And at the time, raising the rate is not popular. But I can explain to our people that my mandate is price stability, and the inflation targeting is our objectives. And central bank has to independently decide these hard decisions. So luckily, I think as many literature demonstrated, we achieved price stability within a couple of 1.5 years. I'm very happy to do so. So in achieving the price stability, I think central bank independence is key. But there is some misunderstanding. Central bank has many other functions, such as financial market stability. And sometimes we act as a land of last resort of the financial markets. And sometimes we are involved in the resolution of the bankrupt financial institutions or that kind of things. These are the areas that you need to communicate with the government and then cooperate with the government. This job cannot be done alone, central bank alone. So my point is that central bank independence is key for price stability and many other operations. But at the same time, there is area that central bank has to cooperate with the government.
Governor, you mentioned that these issues are sensitive. And I wonder if when you think about explaining this mission more widely to the public, how do you communicate how the central bank should take a wider view of what it means to manage the economy, to go beyond the core concepts like inflation and interest rates, and maybe look more at structural factors or even societal factors more broadly?
This is not an easy task, actually, to speak frankly, because the structure issue is an issue which is hard to resolve because there's no simple answers. It's quite complex issues. And also, when you address structural issues, there is always winners and losers. So when you actually recommend some policies, the evaluation is quite different depending on whether they are losers or winners in these policy changes. And also, people's perception is very hard to change. For example, even at this moment, if you ask men in the streets what should be the proper economic growth rate in Korea at this moment, based on our high growth period in the last couple of decades, I'm sure that many people will say that at least 3%, even over 4% is a kind of proper growth rate. Most people will say that. But because of the aging and other changes, our potential GDP growth rate is now already become below 2%, around 2%. So there's a perception between what people think because of the past success and the kind of inertia of the thinking. And it's very hard to tell them that the situation has changed. Now we need to change our behaviors and the perceptions. So that is why I think communication is difficult. And that is why we need a very high quality research. But what is more important is that this high quality research should be easy to read. For the people. That's why the importance of communication coming in. But that is not an easy task. So, yeah.
I guess just to pick up on what you said about reaching out to the public, you've talked about how you were happy to see that the public opinion surveys at the bank show the favorable trends and the numbers are going up. Do you think that do you draw a line there to connect that with your expansive view of how to explain the bank and its work and what it's doing and maybe why it needs to do more or different kinds of work?
Thanks for your generous evaluation. I don't know whether, I hope that's the case. But as I mentioned, I mentioned when this topic is sensitive, I still have many people who believe that the traditional way of doing central banking communication, which is more focused money on the monetary policy and try to deliver the message not clear way, not to give a market impact. There are many people who still believe that's a value, a virtue. So I think we are in the process of changing that kind of perception. But it may take time. I hope that I can be, if my term ends, I hope that I can be credited for that kind of effort. But we have to see how this goes.
Governor, you spoke when you were here in September, when you delivered the Countessy Lecture, talking about monetary policy and structural factors like population aging and low birth rates. And you closed by saying that these are the types of reforms that address root causes rather than symptoms. So what have you learned by producing new papers or new studies about these issues? Are there things that you learned that surprised you or that you think that will need to inform the work of the bank in coming years?
I think that text has a very specific reason, because my Kangdis lecture focused on the kind of situation where Korea reached the so-called zero low bound, very low interest rate and very low growth rate. And what I mean is that if Korea reached that kind of situation, I think it's mostly due to the structural reasons of the fast aging and the low fertility and this population dynamics rather than other reasons. So, but if we just follow the steps of the advanced economies in 2008 and global financial crisis and the low interest environment, low inflation environment, and many advanced economies rely on the QE and the expansionary monetary and fiscal policy to cure that problem. And my lecture explained why Korea cannot afford that kind of options, given that our currency is not internationalized. And unlike the country who has internationally convertible currencies, if we expand too much monetary and fiscal policy, we will have some problem graduating all these different issues. So my point is that rather than trying to copy what advanced economies has done, maybe try to avoid to reach that situation and prevent that situation happening by addressing the root cause of the problem, which is population aging. So if you do some structural reform to increase the birth rate, enhance the female labor force participation, and also some structural reform so that people can, the retirement age can be extended, we may be able to avoid the coming to that difficult policy dilemma. So that is my point. In order to do so, rather than just focus on what we will do once we reach that one, what kind of monetary policy we'll do, I think that's an important question. But at the same time, how we can avoid that situation happen? And that requires to study what kind of structural reform we have. So that sentence is very much Korea-specific lessons.
Finally, so you've talked about your approach to communication and your view of how the bank can or should change. Now that you're 3.5 years into your 4-year term, is there any one piece of unfinished business that you really hope to achieve, maybe in some of the research areas that you've worked on or in other things like digital currency or financial innovation?
Yeah, definitely. I have a few unfinished projects. As I mentioned, I really hope that the Bank of Korea can continue to focus on the research on structural issues rather than the cyclical issues. I really hope to it can be continued. The second issue is that we have been doing a pilot on the tokenized deposit as a part of the preparing for the CBDC and the digital currency. And then now the stablecoin issue is now become important issues across the country. So I hope that this our current pilot about the tokenized deposit can continue and expand to check the pros and cons of the issuing stable coins together with the tokenized deposit, that kind of issue. So I hope that that project can be expanded and continued. And lastly, we have been experimenting so-called forward guidance. So this is in line with this approach that we need to communicate more to the market. So in the last 2 years, so we introduced so-called K-dot plot, and our media is called that way, which means that we are trying to provide more detailed explanation of what each individual, so our Monetary Policy Committee members, think about the future path of interest rate. And we have been doing this experiment for the last 1.5 years. In between, we are just releasing some information about their view about the interest rate path for the next 3 months. But I think we are internally experimenting their views on the 6 months and the 1 year. So after analyzing the effectiveness of those kind of experiments, I hope that we can further enhance our communication about this conditional forward guidance down the road. But probably that it will be left to my successor to decide.
Governor, thank you so much for coming to talk to us today. It was really great to hear from you, and thank you for coming on the podcast for the first time.
Thank you very much for this invitation, and I'm very glad to come back to the fun. So thanks for inviting me again. Thank you.
Again, that was the Governor of the Bank of Korea, Changyong Ri, speaking with IMF blog editor Jeff Kearns. And if you're interested in hearing other central bank governors talk about their experiences, check out the IMF's Governor Talk series held during the IMF World Bank spring and annual meetings. Just search for IMF Governor Talks at imf.org or on your favorite browser. And look for other IMF podcasts on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. You can also follow us on X. Our handle is at IMF_podcast. I'm Bruce Edwards. Thanks for listening.